Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Jeremy Cohen. Why don't you give yourself an introduction? Tell us about your company and what you've got going.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Jeremy Cohen. I'm the founder on a team of three people of a platform called Vooz. Vooz had started as an idea about a year ago, I want to say, maybe more. And it was kind of came out of the fact that a lot of us, I worked in tech for a number of years, you know, as a product manager doing all different types of work in tech. And we all enjoyed this type of platform that seemed to be growing every single year under the radar, from the numbers that we looked at and everything like that. They were growing, it was growing every single year. More and more people were using it, but you wouldn't know that from talking to people on your everyday basis. They would be like, what? I didn't know people use that platform. So, and we saw an opportunity where we thought we can build something way better. And that was our first kind of idea to get into the market. So we wanted to build an anonymous video chatting and text chatting platform that is fully moderated, that has a ton of different entertainment value built into the platform.
Interesting. So I know there's like old meme videos of people like jumping from random video chats to the next. So what are some of the previous players in that ecosystem that you saw were growing, and what is that USP, that unique selling proposition as a SaaS that you're trying to break into that market with?
Sure. So there's a couple platforms that were, and there's a couple platforms that are big names in this industry. One of them is Monkey.app. Another one, which kind of just came out in the last year, is called Thunder.tv. Then you kind of have some of the medium-sized platforms that are like Emerald Chat, ChatRandom, Ohm.tv is actually one of the biggest now. And then you had the biggest name in this industry, which was Omegle. Omegle actually shut their doors about a year ago now for a whole slew of reasons. They decided to shut down their website. This was actually, we started building ours right before they shut down. And kind of the unique selling, the proposition of our platform specifically, is we're building something fully moderated utilizing AI. And like I said, we want to bring entertainment value besides just anonymous video chatting and anonymous text chatting to this type of platform. We don't believe anyone has really innovated past what this platform initially came into the market as, and that's kind of where we're headed towards.
Interesting. So how do you see that innovation shaping out as far as like, is that like partnerships with the entertainers, or what direction does that go? Is that like building rev share partnerships? What's the ideation or path that you're seeing for that USP?
So there's a couple, like I'll say it this way, like we have our ideas, right, that we're going to build out. But will they work? We don't know. But like, will people like them? We don't know. But we have our ideas that we're going to build out, right? One of them that we did build out, we want to allow users to kind of screen share so they can watch YouTube videos together. They can, you know, do, they can share each other. They can do whatever they want on each other's screen, and they can screen share with each other when they're anonymously video chatting with each other or text chatting, right? We have yet to build it out on the text chatting part, but that shares audio so you can watch YouTube videos together, all that kind of stuff, right? We then want to let users play games together. So at a very like basic level, allow them to play like, you know, Never Have I Ever, whatever kind of games that we can get involved in these different platforms, right? To kind of just bring a little bit more entertainment value and fun to those kind of chatting platforms, right? We have a lot ideas kind of going from there, but it's really also like one of those things where we're going to be getting as much user feedback as possible, like talking to the users, be like, did this work? Did you guys like this? You know, and trying to build stuff that just goes past that initial anonymous video chatting or anonymous text chatting.
That's smart. I mean, the New York Times digital puzzle. I remember there's been a couple fads where there's, you know, these challenge games where people are logging on every day and being like, "Oh, I scored a 35. What did you get?" Adding in the element of like being able to jump on with somebody else and like doing it collaboratively. I
Yeah.
could see that's definitely unique, different selling proposition. So you said there were three of you. Is that, are you approaching that as a bootstrapped partnership? Is there someone who's handling all the marketing? How are you distributing the responsibilities of that process? Or are you doing any traditional startup stuff? Are you looking for funding? What's your path look like on that side?
So, it's been a ride to even get to this stage, right? Everything's been bootstrapped so far. So, initially, me coming from the tech world, I knew that I had to start, right? Like, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to kind of just get a team going and stuff like that. I knew I had to start. So initially, I just started out building designs, right? That was my first step. Just getting the design of what I wanted down, right? So after that, it's gonna be interesting. I actually utilized Reddit to pick up developers to come on as co-founders, right? So
Interesting.
that
Okay.
was like my actual way to get developers on my team, right? And they're both co-founders, so they're both on equity. So we're fully bootstrapped. We don't have any funding coming from anywhere besides myself. So the team is consists of me. It consists of a back-end developer and a front-end and a front-end developer who are all co-founders. Like we all have a decent amount of equity into the platform.
That's fantastic. I mean, I've always like wanted to have like a fully collaborative multi-partner system in SEO. The closest I got was like a roofer who kind of pulled me in for a percentage for a little bit until he sold, and I forgot to put a clause in, "Hey, if you sell, I get a chunk of the change." I didn't put that in our initial contract, so I was like, "Okay, you sold. I guess I'm not doing SEO and getting that cut anymore." So that kind of sucks. So I love that you went like horizontal. You didn't go the traditional like, "Oh, I'm going to put a job listing and interview these people," but wanted to go horizontal and find, you know, people that you can work with. What did those conversations consist of? Was it your outreach from the start, "Hey, I want to find co-founders," or was it, "Hey, I need to talk about like these, I think this is an idea," and then it led into it, which came first?
So I had the idea. So like, and I suggest this to like to advice to anyone that wants to build something, right? That's you're not a, even if you're a developer, whatever you are can do, right? Start somewhere, like just start, like and like start building something, build out your design. If you can't do pro developing, build out your idea. Just build something out, right? So I had all the designs built out, everything, I had the whole platform idea. I had a landing page built out. Like the idea was there. I had all the numbers that I can show from all these other platforms, right? So I posted on Reddit about it. Something like I don't remember what subreddits. There were a couple I posted on, right? So I just posted on a couple subreddits and was like, "Hey, I have this idea. I'm looking for some developers." And I got crazy feedback. I got like 40 to 50 people reaching out to me saying they were interested in this idea, right? I didn't even post too much about the idea. So then I just started having interviews with those people. And I'll say this though, it took like 15 to 20 different developers to find my team. Like it wasn't like you just found that one person and it was like that was it, right? Like it wasn't like you just found the first two people and that was it. Like a lot of people, it's really hard to find people that go to their day job and then have that motivation to work on something after hours. It's like really, really hard. It's challenging. And you'll find those people if you like really like want to build and like have passion for getting something out there, you'll find them, but it's not easy.
No, there's definitely something to the entrepreneurial spirit. It's funny because I have worked every aspect of the SEO industry at some point. I worked at a hosting company and accidentally ended up being the guy that realtors kept calling to ask for the SEO advice. And so I worked at, and then there was an in-house agency for that company that I got moved up into the official marketing department, then the supervisor for it. Then I was at, moved over to a SaaS company doing SEO tools for the SEO industry, did freelance SEO, did revenue share partnerships like with the roofer guy, went in-house to a small agency, went in-house to a larger content-focused agency. So I've really seen this model, and I've always had the feeling of like if anybody wanted to step away from their day job and do freelance, like there's so many ways and paths to do that that. I talked to, I was at the pool with one of our friends and we're hanging out and he's like, yeah, I really hate my job. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? I want to start a restaurant. I'm like, okay, well, why don't you go do that? And he's like, well, I need $40,000, upfront and I'll never get that. So it's just a dead dream. And I'm like, okay. I mean, and it happened to get like three other times where people had just put this huge mental block of like doing something on their own.
And if I looked at things like that, it would be, if you're looking at things in like this, like I need X amount of money, this, that, it's like it makes it a lot harder. Like I always looked at things in like a very like next step type of way, where I was just like, let me just get the designs and this part built out, right? Let me just start talking to developers. Let me just figure out the back end part with the developer. Like I never thought of like, and there was money needed at all times, right? Like, and I always
Right.
had to go dip into my pocket, right? But it was like, I just thought of things like very step by step. And now I know at this stage, we launched about a month and a half ago. I know what we need to do to move forward. Like
Yeah.
we tried out a bunch of different stuff to bring on users, and we've kind of found what works, and now we're trying to like triple down on that, which is really just SEO and PPC search.
Yeah.
That's where 99% of the users are going to be coming from right now. So that's kind of like where we have to target.
Got it. So you're looking at like SEO and PPC as your main like marketing channels. Is there anything that you've mapped out as far as like messaging or strategy? Like what's your plan there?
So I'll kind of so like for, I'll rewind back into why I hit that target as like that's what we need to go towards, right? So we have three different influencers who are actually tied to our platform that were brought on for like a small portion of equity, right? Then those influencers have pretty big followings. I'm talking like one guy will post a video with 11 million views, one guy will post a video 200,000 views. Another one's around that number. And they're all in that space. They're all in the anonymous video chatting space, right? So the traffic that comes from their views, their videos, and what they're posting is minimal, to say the least, right? And a lot of people are like, "Are you sure?" They don't believe me, right? They're like, "I don't think something. I think you're doing something wrong, maybe." But the social media traffic, right, can help, but it needs to like be icing on the cake, and the cake needs to come from basically like the search space, right? And we started to look at, I'm not going to name their name, but we started to look at a competitor, right, who came out in the last 2 years in the space, but kind of like came out into the space really quickly. So I started just digging into their platform and was like, what did they do? How did they get all these users? Where did they come from? And you just notice that their search volume just exploded after like 2 or 3 months, right? And that's where they got their kind of initial rev of users, right? So we started kind of, we still have our influencers posting videos and all that kind of stuff, but we're starting to specifically go into the SEO part of things, right? And the interesting thing about our platforms, though, is there's not really content on our platforms. Like you can go into our platforms, it's very like content sparse. Like it's like, some of the competitors have blogs and stuff like that, but a lot of them that are ranking, top 3 or 4 for like this the search terms that are important, they really don't have much on their website. It's just like a very basic platform, right? So what's kind of going on is a lot of these platforms have just very good link building, for their platforms. That's kind of where I believe Google is ranking a lot of them. And I could be like wrong. I'm not an expert in this right now, but it seems like that's where a lot of the I used that one example of a platform that was like, 1.5, 2 years old to really see where their traffic exploded from. 'Cause like, some of the other platforms are 8, 9 years old, right? They have link building and people commenting about their platforms for years. It's hard to kind of compare us to them, right? But the platform that's, 2 years old, they don't have much content on their website whatsoever. They're strictly coming from, it seems like just link building around their website is what got their traffic.
Yeah, it's definitely something in each different SEO space. They say that, link building is less important in comparison to previous years, but it really is dependent on the niche. And it's kind of like less important, like in what way? Like it's still a foundation. Like if you don't have that opportunity, like you're not like a YouTube where everything you post becomes, public, and then that becomes searched, and then that adds to itself, like anonymized and randomized. Like there's a whole like separate internal ecosystem that is behind the scenes. So it makes sense, as far as a play, trying to do link building, and get your fundamentals for SEO in line. What's your strategy for your pay-per-click marketing? Like, are you looking
Yeah, so
to social spend or direct search?
it's just search right now. It's strictly search, right? Like we really like identify that since Omegle closed, right? So Omegle was the player in the market, right? When they closed, like this other platform we're mentioning, they really capitalize on Google search around those terms, right? So the base of the website, like, so a platform like this is hard to keep running. And I'll explain why. You need a certain amount of users on the platform at all times throughout the day, which as you can imagine is challenging, right? Like there's, so 24 hours in the day, you need like 40 to 50 people at a minimum on it at all times. So it's working, right? So, our PPC is strictly search right now. And, realistically, we have to actually spend more on that, to kind of rev the engine a bit before our SEO really starts kicking in. But that's kind of where we're spending really the biggest time gaining users. While our influencers are still posting on social media and still doing all that kind of stuff, that's where we have identified is where a bulk of the user base is going to come in.
That makes sense. So, you've kind of gone through this whole journey as a bootstrapped entity. Are you looking at any point in the future in taking on investing, or do you continue to you want to continue, just bootstrapping forever?
No,
I don't.
so we would, I mean, we would definitely take investment into the platform, right? And a platform like this is highly monetized. Like it's very, you can monetize a platform like this like pretty quickly once you start getting the users on. It's also one of the reasons why we kind of went into this realm, right? We have a ton of different monetization ideas and how we want to monetize it. and kind of go forward. We would definitely take funding. We know how much we kind of have to spend every month on some PPC to get the engine revved up. I think we've had our numbers are like 15,000 unique users in the last like month and a half, 2 months. So it's, their numbers are pretty decent so far. Definitely would help. I would say that it would help us scale. It would help us scale a lot quicker, but it is what it is right now. And we believe we can build the best platform out there. It's just about getting the platform to more people.
Cool. Let's see, for the last piece, speaking to other entrepreneurs, people who are considering looking at the playing field, because there's different aspects. Like, tell me a little bit more about like where you came from, a little bit of your background, and then drop some wisdom if anybody else is like, hey, maybe I could do this too.
Yeah, so I came from a tech background, right? I came strictly from a tech background. That was where I spent a lot of my year. I worked as a product manager, right? And so I knew how, and I built web apps from scratch with developers and did like a bunch of, work like similar to what I'm doing, right? So I think those kinds of skills are very like, they come in handy, obviously, for something like this. But, if you have an idea, like I would say, like first start, in my opinion, with the design, the layout, where you want the idea to look like, right? Because it'll kind of lead you in the development aspect of it, in my opinion. And you can get that done for a pretty cost-effective way. There's a lot of resources online for that kind of stuff now. But yeah, right now, like I work in sales, and I work in sales to kind of fund this, and I think that's actually one of the a very, very awesome skill set also for kind of working in a to fund to do a business and stuff like that, because there's a lot of like I said, recruiting developers is really about pitching
Selling
them
the
on your
vision.
idea, showing them the vision, telling them what you want to build, all that kind of stuff, right? Like you really have to get a team of people that are like motivated behind this idea, which is hard. That's probably the hardest aspect. If you don't have the money to buy a team, like, right, like pay developers and stuff like that, finding a core group of like three people is like really challenging. That's probably the biggest hurdle that anyone's going to face, in my opinion.
No, that definitely makes sense, because when I worked at Raven Tools and Tapclicks, they're both big SEO SaaSes, and they pivoted me. They kept the product manager kept asking me as the perfect example of, oh, as an SEO, what would you want this tool to do? I'm like, okay, well, let's look at it and look at the layout and the design. I'm like, okay, well, when I go to this page to get the keyword values, like it doesn't have the search volume column. Why not? And oh, we didn't even know that was something you wanted. So, is there anything in terms of like user feedback that you've done so far that's been helpful in you developing either your messaging or changing your plans as far as what you were bringing into market?
Not yet. And I'll kind of explain why not yet. Like we will be doing a lot of work with users on that kind of stuff, right? But like we're so I don't have we don't have the resources yet to like do that, right? Like it's like
Fair
everything is
enough.
like and it's like everything at this stage is like we just have to build our vision, right? And we just have to spend the resources there. And that's it. Like we can't like go back and like start being like, oh, did you guys like the chat room feature? We can mess up. Like, we just don't have the time for that right now. Because everything is, like I said, we all have jobs and then working after. So we're just like, we just have to build our ideas and then just launch them. Like, we can't even, like, can't really think twice about it right now. We just have to, like, be like, okay, this is what we wanted to build. Let's launch it. On to the next idea. Let's build that. Let's launch it. Once we have if I could bring in our two guys full time, the developers, it's like we have so much more time to think about stuff. But that's a little bit far away from us right now.
That's fair, and that's always the challenge too, as in that leadership in that end product manager role of determining how much bandwidth do we have and what are things that are nice to have, what are must-haves, and what's already broken. And, you know, and figuring out like, okay, how many bugs do we fix versus launching new features, and how many bugs do we plan for those new features to introduce for us to squash, and like, how far do we get out over our skis versus we're so safe and that we're just doing bug hunting that we don't put in, out anything fresh, and you can't, you know, get that new wave of engagement from users of like, oh, hey, it does this now.
And I'm the kind of person that like when I'm the developers are like, okay, this is done, like can we test it for like 4 hours? I'm like, just launch it. Like I'm like, I don't I like just launch it. Like what do like just put it out. Like what do we have to lose, right? Like it's like everything, sometimes they get a little bit scared. They're like, are you sure? Like I'm like, just launch it. Like let's just launch things as quick as we can. Like and I don't if something breaks, we figure it out, right? But it's like we just have to. My idea behind that kind of stuff is like, just get it out, just get it out, just get out, whatever we can. Because we don't have the time to like make everything perfect all the time, right? Like, and it's like, we lo a lot of the features on the website right now are like 50% of the idea of what we're going for, right? It's just we have to build it slowly over time.
That's definitely, I've seen this, that there is a perfectionist mentality, you know, like versus MVP, and then your MVP is not actually an MVP. It's like 4 or 5 steps beyond. Like, and you literally got to get to that minimum point of this works, and this works. But I've got all this extra stuff I wanted to do. If you wait for that in the product development cycle, all that extra stuff, then a lot of times you're behind the market.
And it's like I don't have, a million people on the platform a month, right? Where it's like can have huge effects on the users if something breaks for an hour, right? We just don't have that, right? And it's like obviously I don't want things to break for a certain amount of time, but it's like in my head, it's like we have the capability to be more free right now, where we can just like throw stuff out there even if it's not 100% finished. So it's like just do it. And you know what I mean? Like we'll see if it breaks. We'll see if users don't like it. We can look at our metrics and decide on that. But it's like, like I said, we're kind of like we have to just go with what our ideas we think will work. And then hopefully the user base likes it. But like we don't have the total freedom right now to like ask. We just don't have, believe me, we don't have the time to be like, oh, does this thing work perfectly and stuff like that. But we'll get there for sure.
That's incredible. I think what you're doing is awesome. It's a fantastic testament. I do have a question. You said that there was an AI component as far as like moderation. Was that a skill set of tools that you had brought to the table, or is that one of your back end or front end developers that was looking at that? How did that come into it, and are there other things that that capability, either on the front end, on the marketing side, and the coding side, how are you looking at, you know, the lightning sprint of development of these tools in the ecosystem of capability? How are you viewing AI LLMs as part of
That's
your
a good
process?
question. So it's actually one of the coolest things that we built, like in my opinion, like because it's like I'll explain why. So we knew I knew building from the beginning. I knew that we needed moderation, right? Just because I didn't want a porn website. I wanted like a fun website, right? Like where people can go on it. I think there's enough of those types of websites out there, right? So we needed moderation. So we knew we needed AI to moderate video and text, right? So originally when we did this, we kind of found some like there's a company called Hive there's a bunch of companies that kind of do this kind of stuff, but it's very costly. Like you're talking like, thousands of dollars of cost every month if I were to run this on my platform, right? So when I started working with the developers, I was like, hey, like I said, I got really lucky and found like great developers who are like really motivated people. We started to like look into like how we can build this ourselves, right? So we fully built our own video moderation tool utilizing AI, right? So we basically utilize open source AI models to detect nudity, which we've kind of we've trained more to prefer it to be more accurate using like data sets and stuff like that. And we basically have like three of them running at one, three different models running at one time. And it'll take like snapshots of the video chat, kind of detect if it's nudity. If it hits on one of them, it'll like start snapchatting. It'll do more snapshots to see if it'll detect again. So it's like we have this whole like, it's really cool, actually. It's like actually the fact that we built that from scratch is it's one of the, I think, the coolest things that we built on the platform. Just users don't really see that, but we did build like a whole AI moderation tool that detects nudity and video chat from scratch that works really well. And it'll keep getting better because it's gonna keep getting trained.
I mean, that's smart. I mean, that's probably behind the scenes something also, like a biz dev conversation with other
Yeah, no.
platforms.
It's like I've always like there are a lot of companies that sell something like this, right? So like I said, we were looking into those originally. It's pretty cool that we built one from scratch, and I'm pretty proud of, our team for doing that.
That's awesome. Okay. So, any final thoughts to other people who want to be going into the SaaS space as we kind of wrap up the conversation?
Yeah, like I said, if you're a solo founder, my advice would be just to start somewhere, and by starting somewhere, you're showing initiative and you're showing, if you're gonna have a lot easier time picking up talent on your way, as opposed to just coming to people with, I have an idea and it's just something in your head, right? Like you need to like start. And once you start, once you're getting yourself going, you'll be able to pick people up to kind of go with you, but you can't, you have to go somewhere first.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Jeremy.
No problem. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it.